From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, On Deadline is diving deeper into the issues that are shaping up as the most divisive in this election season between Democrats and Republicans. Those issues include fracking, IVF, abortion, and the southern border. The presidential ballot is set, and now Americans are ready to see a battle between Vice President Kamala Harris for the Democrats and former President Donald Trump for the GOP. Political ads are running on a loop everywhere you consume media, with various claims on these issues. Spoiler, some of the claims are true, and others are not. So let's cut through the noise and the posturing and delve into where Harris and Trump stand on these hot-button topics. We'll start with fracking. It's been a major topic of debate when it comes to Vice President Kamala Harris and her stance on the mining process. If you need a bit of a refresher, fracking is the process of extracting gas or oil deep underground through the use of a high-pressure mixture of water, sand, and chemicals to break up the bedrock. This process has been criticized for its potential risks, which include damage to air and water quality. Research has shown that fracking depletes water levels and produces toxic air pollution. The U.S. Geological Survey even claims it contributes to earthquakes. But not everyone is opposed to it. Those who support the practice highlight how it's helped lower the price of oil and gas around the world, and how it's made the U.S. less reliant on foreign oil giants. One of those supporters is Donald Trump. He supports fracking and has cited his goal for the U.S. to have the cheapest energy and electricity in the world. Not to mention in states like Pennsylvania alone, it's created thousands of jobs for Americans. Back in 2019, when Harris was first running to be a Democratic nominee for president, she said she would ban fracking. Now she's seemingly switched positions and said that she'd support fracking. That's left people wondering why. After her interview last week with CNN, KCBS political analyst Mark Sandalow joined Odyssey to share more on her position change.
There was a recurring phrase she used last night, my values haven't changed. What did you make of that?
She kind of showed that she is, you know, she has a political core, and despite the fact that some of her positions have moderated since she ran for president on her own in 2020, she's still the same person. You know, to me, and maybe it's just because I've conducted so many interviews myself, that when I hear her repeating that, to me, it rang like something that she and her political handlers had decided she was going to say. And, you know, if you ever do media training, you say it over and over again to make sure that people pick up on it. I'm not sure she completely explained why her view, say, on fracking, which she was dead set against, had changed. She explained that now she has seen all the evidence and we can have a clean energy environment and still permit fracking. The fact is her position on that has changed. I don't think that's a enormous, you know, flip-flop on her part. There's no reason people's views can't evolve. But I think the biggest thing for her last night was, you know, one, to look that she could be commander-in-chief. And normally this is not something we talk about in almost September of a presidential race. But remember, this was her first interview as a presidential candidate in 2024. And many people aren't, you know, don't know what she is like. So, you know, she accomplished that. And I think she also made clear that she was not going to deviate from Joe Biden. That, you know, there are places that the two of them disagreed, for example, about fracking. And her views on fracking appear to have changed, because she was the running mate of somebody for who made clear that he thought fracking was okay. She adapted, and she's going to stay with that adaptation. But she made clear their differences with Joe Biden. The other important thing I think she said is that she would name a Republican to her cabinet, which is something that had always been done, somebody from the opposite party before Biden and before Trump, signaling that, yes, she still is that moderate politician that, and people never believe when I tell them this, that the people in San Francisco actually thought was maybe too conservative to be the state senator.
What are you paying attention to as we approach the next debate?
The interaction between her and Trump is going to be absolutely fascinating. I mean, the last 24 hours, Trump has, you know, put on social media, a crude joke about her. He has, you know, in the past questioned her, you know, racial identity. He's belittled her for not being intelligent. He says that she's ruined San Francisco. She is clearly trying to avoid all of that. I mean, not just the charges, but try not to hit back at Trump with the personal insults. I mean, she had several opportunities last night to go after Trump, and she really didn't. What she basically said is, we've been in this era of putting people down for a decade now, and we want to move forward. We want to turn a new page. And she's, I think, hoping that that will... That will be very appealing to a lot of voters. So next week, or it's not next week, I guess it's September 10th, 2 weeks from now, when they sit down, you know, side to side to talk to each other, it's going to be fascinating to see how the interaction is. I find it very telling that she wanted to have open live mics so that he could interrupt her, obviously figuring that his interruptions would come across as obnoxious and boorish. He fought for closed mics so that as soon as one of them finishes speaking, the mic is cut off, which is what is going to happen in that debate. Nevertheless, the two of them, last night was revealed, have never met. So it'll be fascinating to see the two of them interact in the debate.
While Harris has seemingly taken a more moderate position on fracking, Trump also surprised the public with his recent support for an issue related to reproductive rights. We should note here that Trump personally nominated three of the Supreme Court justices who voted in favor of overturning the abortion rights guaranteed in Roe v. Wade. And since those Trump-appointed justices overturned Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health decision, Democrats have been hypercritical of Republicans and their stance on abortion. After the Dobbs ruling, GOP-led restrictions on women's health care services began materializing across the country, including some that might affect IVF treatment. Democrats say that if Trump is reelected, he could support a nationwide ban on abortion. And they're worried that IVF could be banned too. Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance, was one of 47 GOP senators to vote against a bill in June that was intended to expand access to IVF treatments. Vance also wrote a foreword to a 2017 Heritage Foundation report encouraging abortion bans and IVF restrictions in favor of returning to a, quote, traditional family structure. Last week, Trump shared that if reelected, he would ensure that IVF treatment would be covered by the federal government or insurance companies. IVF helps potential parents struggling with getting pregnant increase their odds of having a child. Often the treatment includes freezing fertilized embryos. In addition to helping prospective parents deal with infertility, IVF is also a go-to for many LGBTQ couples hoping to become parents. Just one IVF treatment costs $10,000 without insurance, and that puts it out of the reach of many people. Under the Trump administration, we're going to be paying for that treatment. We're going to be mandating that the insurance company pay. Trump said that in a recent interview with NBC News. CBS Chief White House Correspondent Nancy Cordes joined Odyssey to provide an update on what Trump's vow means for Democrats and Republicans.
So what did we learn from the interview on CNN last night with Vice President Harris and her running mate, Tim Walz?
Well, she was pressed on a number of her policy positions, in particular some of the shifts in her positions over time from when she first ran for president back in 2019. You know, back then she said that she was opposed to fracking. She would ban it, but then she became by President Biden's running mate, said she wouldn't ban it, and she continues to say that today. She said that her positions changed both because she became his running mate and adopted his agenda, but also because she was able to make progress on some of those issues like climate change when they were in the White House. And so it's natural that some of those positions would change over time. Notably, she was also given an opportunity to hit back at Donald Trump over his claim, very controversial claim a few weeks ago, that she somehow turned black in recent years. And she really signaled that she didn't want to have any part of it. She said it's just part of the same old playbook from him. And she told the interviewer, Dana Bash of CNN, next question, please. So clearly she wants to rise above that topic, especially because there are so many other Democrats and supporters who have already gone after Trump for that.
That's interesting. We had some debate within the newsroom about whether that was the right stance, but I tend to agree. Donald Trump, speaking of shifting positions, has indicated a shifting position on IVF and abortion. What could we expect to see as we approach the next debate?
Yeah, that really kind of came out of nowhere. IVF has obviously been a thorny issue for his party this election season because as States have changed their abortion laws and imposed new abortion restrictions. There are some conservatives who say that IVF should be restricted as well, while other Republicans recognize that this is a fertility treatment that lots of parents of all political persuasions have used to try to have children. And so the former president came out last night and said either he would pay, you know, the government would pay for the fertility treatments, which can be quite expensive, or that he would make the insurance companies do that, and, which is surprising for a couple of reasons. First of all, Republicans don't tend to support insurance mandates. And also, as the Harris campaign pointed out in a really scathing statement in response to this, his own political platform that was just adopted by the Republican convention a few weeks ago would actually roll back protections for IVF. So they're arguing that he doesn't actually intend to do this, that it's just something that he's saying because he's looking to shore up support among women as he gets closer to the election.
Here's a little snapshot of where both candidates currently stand. Trump says he doesn't want a federal abortion ban, he doesn't have anything to do with Project 2025, and he wants to make sure Americans don't have to worry about paying for IVF. Harris said that she's in support of fracking, she wants to fight price gouging, and that she'll ban union busting. Both candidates have expressed interest in addressing the crisis at the border, ending taxes on tips, and addressing inflation. But now the political campaign steam engine is getting set for full speed ahead. Washington insider Dave Leventhal shared exactly what to expect from now until November 5th.
This is where the presidential race shifts into high gear. What does this final sprint look like?
It will look very different depending on where you live. And I think one thing, Susan, that we are going to see across the country is if you live in a state, for example, like Pennsylvania, as opposed to New York, or certainly a state such as Michigan or Nevada, Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, and a couple of others, you are going to see so many political ads. You may think that you've seen as many political ads as you have ever seen in your life, and then multiply it. It's going to be exponentially more than it already has been. And one thing that we are already seeing right now is that the Harris campaign in particular is just spending insane amounts of money to try to gather and capture and motivate voters who haven't decided who they're going to vote for, but the ones who have not, or the ones who are persuadable, or the ones who are low propensity voters. And that's a term I suspect that we're going to hear a lot of over the next several weeks. And what are those voters? Those are the voters who may have a history of casting a ballot in a couple of elections here or there over the years, but oftentimes stay home from the polls. Well, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, both at the presidential level, are going to be going after those voters in ways we've never seen before. So it's going to be television ads, radio ads, the places we expect, but also to other places, too. A lot of digital ads. Even WhatsApp is becoming a kind of a big player in the presidential race, especially for Kamala Harris, for people who may not get their news in traditional routes, but are nevertheless going to be using different communication means to communicate with their family, and it's something that you can sell an ad against.
Yeah, so we're expected to see this, right, all over, being blitzed by the campaigns. We saw Biden and Harris together for the first time over the weekend. Well, not for the first time, but for the first time since she was the nominee over the weekend. At this point, polls very close to, obviously, Dave. At this point, who is carrying the momentum? Who needs to make up ground as we really head into the stretch here?
Foremost, Brian, the race is incredibly close, and it's close on the national level, and it's incredibly close in those key seven or eight swing states, too, across the country. Give a slight edge to Kamala Harris, but this is an edge that can disappear just as quickly as it materialized over the summer, and it's going to largely depend on the way these candidates campaign against each other. We've got debates coming up, okay, providing that the two candidates adhere to what they've agreed to, and that's going to be a massive inflection point potentially, at least as we saw back in June when Joe Biden was still in the race. So what can happen with a single debate? That's why people focus on them so much, is because that the stakes are that high, and it's an opportunity for the candidates to directly compete and combat one another and not do so through through intermediaries or through various media. So that's going to be a huge moment. But also, too, we're going to have in those key swing states, the candidates spend a disproportionate amount of their time. And, well, obviously, they're swing states and they're very close, but there's a couple of other things going on in those swing states, too, particularly when you look at Pennsylvania. What's happening in Pennsylvania in 13 days? Well, I'll tell you, voters are going to start voting, and because in Pennsylvania, you can request and cast absentee ballots in certain circumstances that early on, and it starts on September 16th. So Virginia is close after that, and a few other states just a few days after that. So we basically are not in a situation where you have to wait until November 5th or early voting starts a couple weeks before that. You are going to have some states that are critical around this country, and the campaigns know this, where people are going to be voting weeks before election day. So you may love that, you may hate that, but that's reality this time around, and the campaigns are going to have to be spending a considerable amount of time and effort and, of course, money, which right now Kamala Harris has more of than Donald Trump, in order to try to get those voters out to vote and convince them that they are the candidate that the voters should be supporting.
At the time of this recording, former President Trump is polling at around 45%, according to The Hill's Decision Desk HQ average of national polls. That means he continues to trail Vice President Harris, who's polling at over 49%. When it comes to some key issues like inflation and the border, Trump remains ahead with voters. Harris, on the other hand, leads with those who rank abortion and reproductive rights as their top issues. But if summer 2024 has taught us anything, it's that a lot can change in 8 weeks. That may be especially true after Trump and Harris face off in their first official debate this month. It probably seems like eons ago now, but let's try to remember the first presidential debate of this year. After that one, Trump's opponent, President Joe Biden, left the race altogether and made it a whole new ballgame. Could this next debate help change the tide in the race again? Or will Harris continue to capitalize on her current momentum? We'll have to wait and see. Keep listening to On Deadline to get all of the latest election news. This show is produced by Joe Heady, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.